Africa Business Report.
Well, Chris Bishop, who is the head of programming and author of Africa's Billionaires, he's the head of programming at CNBC Africa. Coronavirus, having huge economic consequences, big financial consequences too, Chris Bishop. Nigeria was planning to raise some capital this week and has had to suspend a euro bond offering precisely because coronavirus has wrought havoc.
Exactly, and it's a terrible thing because for many months Nigeria's been trumpeting this as a big foray back into the world money markets. They feel that along with a lot of African nations that these bonds here, there's a lot of appetite out there for high-yielding debt, shall we say, from a number of African nations, and they're going to lead the way with this $3.3 billion bond. And today, bang, President Buhari says no, he's going to postpone it for now because of fears over the coronavirus. And you have to remember that Nigeria was the first country in Africa to declare a case, and this is the kind of havoc that it's causing. So on the one hand, it's about the bad side of the story, but the only good side of the story, we've been speaking to our bureau up in Lagos, our CNBC Africa people there, and they're saying actually that the authorities are pretty well drilled in dealing with these kind of outbreaks because they have so much experience on the Ebola virus, which obviously was very serious, as you know, in Nigeria. And they seem to be doing a fair job of actually containing it. But unfortunately, it wasn't going to save the Eurobond, $3.3 billion Eurobond, because, and that's a shame, that would have brought a big flow of capital into Nigeria.
This only would have, and of course, one of the big issues is, if not coronavirus yet, or coronavirus at all, because of their ability to deal with the crisis domestically, is going to be the oil price. I mean, the oil price has collapsed from $55-$60 a barrel all the way down to $30. And as their major export, the Nigerians must be a little bit worried about that.
Well, they are. I mean, the whole point is, you see also inflation today was edging up to about 12.2%. Which is another fear, which is one of Nigeria's perennial problems. Certainly, Nigeria has an infrastructure which the nation needs to spend a lot of money filling. And again, without the economic growth that everyone seems to be chasing and longing for on this continent at the moment, it's going to be very difficult to do so. And certainly, years ago, the politicians said they were going to diversify away from oil to stop these kind of crashes dragging the economy down with it, but there have been some forays into agriculture, mining, all kinds of things, particularly gold thing, but it's not enough, it seems, and it seems they're in for tough times ahead as well as this country.
Most certainly are, and big pressure being coming to bear, of course, across this continent. What about a decent news story, perhaps, something out of Mozambique for us this evening?
Well, yes, it's one of my pet stories. I mean, I've been reporting on it for about 15 years and probably traveling to Mozambique for reporting for about 25 years. And so I've had some of that.
Just for the record, this is work, right? You're not just going to Velankulos and having a couple of Doge M and then weaving your way back home.
It was work. I mean, I went just after the Civil War finished when the economy was rebuilding, and it was actually exhilarating times to see how quickly things were moving here. But this gas story, I was just reading the head of ENI was saying this week, he says that he thinks Mozambican gas is going to be a feast, quotes. He said that, he feels that it's going to be a large earning industry. It's going to give a lot of downstream effects for the people of Mozambique. But not only that, I mean, 2022, the first liquefied natural gas is expected to go under pipelines under the sea for export, which is a big move forward. I know the Mozambique authorities are still working out how they can get more out of this gas boom on their doorstep. But, I mean, with the multiplier, it's bound to bring jobs and wealth into the country. And it seems that at last, after like 10, 15 years of expectation, it's starting to go somewhere.
finally, which is a piece of good news. We've seen lots of scam artists, or they don't even artists. They're not particularly good at it in South Africa. People have been trying to scam people out of cash, presenting fake letters with Reserve Bank logos on, saying your money is tainted with coronavirus. Here's a receipt. You can go to the Reserve Bank and claim your fresh cash back. We've seen people knock on doors claiming to be Netcare employees, taking people's temperatures to test them for coronavirus. All of this, of course, is criminal activity. It's all designed to separate us from our assets, and there's been a big crackdown on fake corona kits in Kenya.
I know. Well, this is running big today on the CNBC Africa website. It's a sad, it's a terrible story. I mean, a time when people are worried, people are scared, people are feeling desperate in some cases. There was somebody selling people useless kits, saying it would help them. Which ultimately could cost people's lives. And the police have been cracking down. They've been, again, Kenya is another country that's had to deal with heavy outbreaks in the past. But, I mean, one of the ironies of the story is that at the weekend, when our president, Cyril Ramaphosa, was awaiting him on Sunday night for some time to make his address to the nation about Ebola virus, we were wondering what the hold-up was. And we were actually talking at the time on air about how Kenya has been swift. I mean, Uhuru Kenyatta went away for a couple of hours with his cabinet, came out with these stringent measures, shutting down the schools, shutting down the universities, stopping people moving around, stopping people coming in, closing its borders. And, you know, and we were saying at the time, wasn't that a swift and decisive response? And it's just a shame that some backdoor business types are tarnishing that image by trying to sell people something that's no good at a very, very terrible time.
Oh, Chris Bishop, we're losing you this evening. Hopefully not losing you, but just the line quality is deteriorating. Thank you, Chris Bishop. Chris Bishop is the managing editor, the head of programming at CNBC Africa. He's the author of a fabulous book called Africa's Billionaires. And he's got a really good grip on issues across the African continent. He's a passionate reporter on issues from across the continent. And he knows the key role players, the key movers and shakers across this continent as well. My favorite Chris Bishop's story was the one he told about when he'd interviewed Aliko Dangote, and they published a story in Forbes Africa about Aliko Dangote's extraordinary wealth, and they put it at, what, 10 or 12 or $14 billion or whatever it might be. And Chris got a call saying, very cross with you. That's vastly underestimated. Most people want their wealth underestimated, but not Aliko Dangote. Very successful Nigerian businessman and a key player, of course, on this continent. It was a good day on the JSE, much better than we've seen in recent weeks. And the All Share Index ended the day nearly 3% stronger, more than 1,000 points higher, above 41,500 once again. After starting the day quite strong, some motivation sort of petered out during the day, and it was in the last hour of trade that we saw that big recovery in the value of shares on the JSE, and it was led mostly by shares in that resources sector. We saw a nice bounce come through in the platinum stocks today. Gold shares did incredibly well. On average, they were 21% better on the day. Industrials, about 3% better. Only financials actually pulled back, and financial stocks were broadly negative. They're quite vulnerable at the moment. In that industrial sector, huge increases in share prices of food retailers, and they, of course, are finding big, big demand for the products that they stock on their shelves at the moment. Gold price is feeling relatively robust at 1,528. At least it's moving up again. For days, it's been under pressure. Markets have been anticipating the liquidating of assets across all asset classes. And so we've seen a big pullback in even gold, which is usually a safe haven asset. Brent crude oil dipping again tonight. We spoke to Fleetwood Krobler, the chief executive of Sasol, earlier on today, and he was bemoaning the state of the oil price and saying they're not anticipating it's going to go much above $35 a barrel for the foreseeable future. And that's, of course, because of that battle between Saudi Arabia and Russia as to who is going to cut supply in terms of supporting higher oil prices. Saudi Arabia undercutting Russia, and now it's a big bruising battle of egos. But most concerning, perhaps, on our market is the cost of borrowing, and the cost of borrowing has spiked up significantly. The R186 government bond at 9.44%, the R208 at 11.5%, 11.55%. And we spoke earlier on to an expert in this particular field, and to Michael Keenan, the fixed income and currency strategist at APSA. And he was just saying that, you know, the cost of borrowing for South Africa has increased. If you want to borrow money as South Africa over 30 years, you have to pay a massive premium in order to do so. People are prepared to lend us money in the short term, but already we're paying 15 cents in every rand that we raise as a country, as SARS raises from you and me. 15 cents of that immediately goes to settle an already crippling debt burden. And all of the indications are, and I'm afraid this is the bad news story from tonight, all of the indications are that we are going to be downgraded to sub-investment grade at the end of this month. Moody's have got a scheduled meeting, and I thought after the budget that we would be in an okay space. We would be fine because government has got this plan, and everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth, said Mike Tyson. And that punch in the mouth, unfortunately, is the coronavirus. The coronavirus has wrought havoc not only across our continent, but our country, around the world as well. Deep concerns about the longer-term economic consequences of coronavirus. We've got scientists working furiously on trying to create solutions and trying to find medicine and trying to create vaccines and cures for COVID-19. But we're in unprecedented times. People are frightened. You've got markets that are petrified and investors that are incredibly wary at the moment. But tonight, so far, all's well. It's 7:30 and all's well. Up 2% in the US this evening, losing momentum. 20,591 on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. The S&P 500 is up 3% as well. After a positive day in London, the JSE also ended up on the day. We've got to take the good when we can get it.